Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
Our first guest on the Business News Hour is Michael Leidy, who is the Director of Public Policy for National Nurses United. He's worked there since its founding back in 2009, and for the California Nurses Association since 1994. Michael has devoted his work on creating what he says is a just healthcare system for all. We caught up with Michael at the Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement Office here in Des Moines. Michael, thanks for visiting with the Business News Hour. You've been traveling the state of Iowa over the past several days, talking to individuals and corporations. What are you talking about? What are you sharing with people?
We're talking about the present state of healthcare in Iowa and the country, and we're tapping into the extreme anxiety people feel and insecurity about their own healthcare and the healthcare, in the case of business owners, of their employees. And we're finding very much interest in alternatives to the present system. The MCO privatization of Medicaid here hasn't worked. Still have uninsured, but we really have a crisis of the insured where the co-pays and deductibles still go up. And we have, at the same time, increasing premiums and people's inability to get the care they need.
Healthcare in the United States has been one of those issues that we have all grown up with. And at one time, it was nothing to be able to go to the doctor twice a year, and we would think nothing of that and go get whatever kind of medical care that we needed. But however, that's started to fragment over the past 20 or 25 years. What's it like? What is the current healthcare system like in America today, Michael?
The healthcare system is driven by commercial interests that are actually undermining other businesses' ability to be productive, innovate, and provide security for their workers when it comes to healthcare. And what it is, it's really Elizabeth Rosenthal, who's a lead writer now for Kaiser Health News, says that money has become the metric of good medicine. And so what we're finding is that a commercial approach to healthcare has widely benefited certain segments of society, but as Angus Deaton has said, it's actually an example of crony capitalism. He won the Nobel Prize in economics. So we have a system that seems not oriented to the actual purpose of healthcare.
So what you're suggesting is that the healthcare industry is really an industry designed to make money for healthcare insurers, not necessarily providers, but insurers, at the expense of
Everybody else. Yeah, including businesses. And I think, Michael, what's interesting about the present period is that corporate America has realized that. Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Jamie Dimon are forming a corporation that cuts out the insurers. Apple Computer, forming an entity that cuts out the insurers. So what you have is you have the richest guy in the world, the smartest investor, one of the best bankers, and the highest capitalized corporation in the world, all saying insurance companies are not part of the solution for our workers. And I think if the rest of us don't come to that same realization, we're just schmucks.
Yeah, and a great word, by the way. Curiously, we were just having a conversation the other day that indicated, you know, this trade war that's being talked about right now, which is impacting, it could very well impact, well, everybody from Caterpillar to General Motors. General Motors spends more on healthcare delivery insurance than what they do on steel. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's incredible. It's unbelievable, really, if you think about it. And what value does GM get for that spending? Do they have – are the workers getting, you know, care without a fee at point of service? Are they getting a good deal? Can they go to any doctor of their choice? Are the doctors and clinicians in charge, or the insurance companies telling them how to practice? Well, in fact, the insurers are driving all of those decisions.
Yeah, just last week we had a conversation and a story about now how Amazon – this is very interesting – Amazon is now – making the Prime membership available to Medicaid recipients, and insurance companies and insurance healthcare delivery people are scared now that what's going to happen, they're going to start delivering pharmaceuticals, healthcare, and maybe even faster than later, get into the insurance industry or a semblance of that.
Right. Well, and it's reflective. Cigna just announced that they're buying the pharmacy benefit manager. CVS has bought Aetna, that CVS Pharmacy
right.
Benefit Manager. So what we're looking at, Michael, as an alternative, we don't create a system like Improved Medicare for All that guarantees health care to everybody. We're going to have a system of corporate silos, and we're going to have this set of, you know, Aetna and CVS, you can get your health care just in those places. And if you work for, you know, Bezos, Diamond, and Buffett, you can just go to those places. And we're all siloed in a fragmented system that cannot be sustainable, control costs, and actually provide a standard of care.
And a final, just to set this up for where you're going to go, I have a great friend who just retired as a pulmonologist. He worked for the Mercy Healthcare System. And he said 2 years before he decided his retirement date, he said, I am counting the days until I get out of here because 40% of my time is not spent on delivering health care to my patients, but it's arguing with insurance companies as to what treatments I prescribe.
And it's no surprise that a majority of the doctors want a different system. And precisely that reason, my endocrinologist quit because he didn't want to go to electronic health records. Insurance companies are practicing medicine, and they don't even know what they're doing.
We're talking with Michael Leidy, ladies and gentlemen. He is the Director of Public Policy for the National Nurses Association and has been traveling throughout Iowa talking about universal health care, Medicare for All, however you want to term that. And there are several terms running around. All right. So we've laid the framework for what's wrong. What do we need to do in your eyes?
Well, in my eyes, we need to publicly finance healthcare so that we can control costs, contain prices, and guarantee healthcare to all. And unless we do that, unless we utilize the economies of scale that such a system would provide, we're not going to be able to actually cover everybody in this country and solve the crisis that middle-class folks are experiencing and business owners are increasingly burdened by. And business has the greatest stake in this approach. It is a fiscally conservative approach that's based upon creating efficiencies and ending bureaucracy. It's a shared responsibility approach where everybody pays what they can rather than individuals who have high needs being burdened by costs that they will never be able to cover. And it is ultimately an approach that provides choice where it matters, not choice between health plans, but choice of provider. And it puts doctors and clinicians in charge. We could create a set of a summary of this approach that business owners would feel very simpatico with in terms of those values, right, of efficiency and creating resources for innovation and growth. And we can do that because we change from a system where you're basically on your own. Either you get a subsidy or your employer provides you a subsidy or the government provides the employer a subsidy. But essentially, we're on our own and make that subsidy work however we can. Or we go to a system like Improved Medicare for All, where we pay through taxes, but we actually spend less overall on healthcare.
Well, here's the pushback. We don't want government in the healthcare system because they don't do the healthcare system well. They don't do anything well. So we don't want the government involved. Is the government currently involved in healthcare outside of Medicare?
Yes. Well, overall, the funding of healthcare is majority public. 60% of the money that finances personal healthcare expenses comes from government sources, from taxes.
Now,
we are a publicly financed system mostly. Now, we're just not getting our money's worth. And also, let's keep in mind that government, when it comes to healthcare, is actually more efficient. Medicare controls costs better. Their rate of inflation is less than overall medical inflation. Their administrative costs are 6% compared to a typical private insurance plan where it's around 12%. And they actually are able to let physicians decide the appropriate treatments and still contain costs. So I really, quite frankly, we find that every other country who's done this more publicly financed system has a more efficient system with better outcomes. So it's an irony, I know, for folks, because we're basically saying, hey, you're going to pay more in taxes, but we're going to save you lots of money. So I apologize to conservatives for that kind of creates cognitive dissonance. But it's the same thing. We're going to actually go to a government finance system, and it's going to be more efficient. These are contradictions to the American experience, but they are the reality in most countries like ours.
We're sitting in Des Moines, and Des Moines happens to be the number two or number three mega center for insurance opportunities. And we have great insurance companies that are here that employ literally thousands of people. So the pushback has been, well, wait a minute, if we go to any type of universal health care for all, financed through the federal government, what's going to happen to all these jobs?
Well, we did an estimate, Michael, back in 2009. We said, okay, let's just put everybody in Medicare. Not change it, just we're proposing to change it and make it better. But in this case, let's just put everybody in. We found that that created a net job growth of 2.6 million. Because the ripple effect of actually spending money through this kind of publicly financed system will create new jobs, because it literally does open up productivity, open up investments. And when you cover more people, you do spend more money. But you spend it on care, not administration. And those care dollars, you go in a doctor's office, all that stuff, that gets manufactured. The office building and stuff. So you can create a ripple effect to the economy that will increase tax revenues. And there's been additional research on this. Secondly, we know that a lot of those insurance industry jobs here in Des Moines are not healthcare related. Those are property casualty companies. They're not healthcare companies by and large. United is big here. But let's face it, it's appropriate to treat property damage as a risk. Is it really appropriate to treat our health as a risk? And so let's talk about the insurance function versus a guaranteed healthcare system. And finally, we're committed to training those folks who lose jobs in administration, either move them into the new system. That's what happened under MCO privatization. Folks were working on the public side, became employed by the new private entity. Same thing can happen here in reverse. Also, we can retrain those folks who want to for clinical jobs. We estimate about 1% of the system spending for the first 3 years would go to that transition, and no one would suffer financially, and the economy would grow faster.
We're visiting with Michael Leidy, ladies and gentlemen, talking about healthcare delivery systems here in the United States. Recently, we had a news story that the Farm Bureau Federation here in Iowa is going to create a insurance-like product. Now, they're not calling it insurance because then it would have to be regulated. So they're calling it an insurance-like product so that individuals who are living on the farm who are not able to buy insurance because they're not making, and we've had a farm crisis for the past 5 years, that they're going to build something that, well, that would skirt the issue of the ACA, Affordable Care Act, because it wouldn't cover pre-existing conditions, it wouldn't cover lots of different things. So that's another example, would it be, of siloing?
It would be an example of siloing, and it would also be an example of junk insurance in the sense that it really doesn't give you much. And that's the problem, is that you can create insurance products that are not expensive. The benefits are less. They're basically catastrophic. And that if you end up in a farm accident and you lose your leg or, worse, then yeah, that's a policy that will help you out because you're going to be in the hospital for a while and you got intensive coverage. It's not going to help you go to the doctor. It's not going to help you cover your prescription drug prices. And in fact, those are really the barriers to care that people experience every day financially. So it's not a solution. It's a stopgap measure at best.
We had not long ago, a story about individuals who could not afford the copay. In other words, they would go to a physician if they could afford the $50 or the $70 or whatever the number is, copay. How would this system that you're talking about, universal care, alleviate that cost?
It would eliminate that copay. It would eliminate deductibles. It would eliminate insurance premiums. And when you do that, you save substantial monies for individuals. Individuals who are uninsured right now end up paying maybe 10% of their income on health care. Under our proposal, we have a financing plan that we could implement in the state of Iowa, and that same person would spend a tenth of that. It goes from $5,480 to $548 on an annual basis. And that same dynamic, not quite as intense of savings, applies to businesses as well. And that's the irony of this, because if you go to a publicly financed system and spread the cost to everybody, everybody pays a little bit. And so when they need a lot, it's there, but they don't have to pay for a lot when they can't afford it.
The Affordable Care Act was supposed to offer not only choice, but also offer an opportunity for individuals to save money. However, it's turned out to be a mess, in just a word. How is this different And can people hate this as much as they seem to hate the Affordable Care Act?
I don't think they will, because Medicare is popular and it works, and we're building on that. And the irony is, we've tried everything else in healthcare, Michael. Let's try to build on what's popular and works. So it's actually the opposite of the ACA. The ACA enshrined a system of commercial insurance and a structure of you're on your own with subsidies. And we're talking about we're all in this together, and we need the Commonwealth to create the common good in healthcare.
It's a fascinating conversation to have. And this conversation, ladies and gentlemen, is becoming more and more top-of-mind awareness for many individuals as well as businesses as they see. And they tell us all the time, Michael, the current system of healthcare in the United States is not sustainable for my small business as well as large corporations.
Well, and what we do with this proposal, Michael, we exempt 80% of Iowa businesses. 80% of Iowa businesses.
How so?
Well, because we set up a tax structure that is based upon the scale of the enterprise. So you can exempt the first $200,000 in payroll. You can exempt the first $2 million in gross receipts, apply a gross receipts tax at 2.47%, and exempt 80% of businesses and save large corporations who do, yes, bear a larger burden, but they're the ones paying for health care now by and large anyway. And so those folks would still, those entities, those businesses would still save money. But small businesses would be relieved of this burden, and all businesses would be relieved of the hassle. Oh, my God, the hassle of dealing with these health insurance companies. It is unending for business owners.
If you have some doubts about this, ladies and gentlemen, remember your Econ 101 class.
Yes, there are principles at work here.
There are principles at work. Michael Leidy, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Director of Public Policy for the National Nurses Union. Thanks so very much for spending some time with us on this. I think this is seminal discussion. This is not anti-business. It's not anti-corporation. But it is a business concern, and that people need to have some knowledge about. So thank you for your time. By the way, you mentioned something about Iowa. Last question. I'm sorry. It just came to me. Are there movements here in Iowa to create some type of a project outside of the national scope to take a look at what might happen here in this state?
Yes, there are. I'm working with Iowa CCI Action, and we have introduced a bill in the Iowa Legislature, House File 2352, the Healthy Iowa Act. That's a model. That's a template for how we could do this in Iowa. And business owners would benefit greatly from that.
So we'll have to list out those possible benefits.
That's right.
All right. Michael, thanks so very much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Michael. Really appreciate it.
That was Michael Leidy on universal health care and its impact on business here and nationwide. When we come back, we take a trip to Jefferson as the Business News Hour hit the road into small town Iowa to learn more about the community, education, the media, and the impact of gambling on the economy. Stay with us. That's coming up next on the Business News Hour.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train.